more and more people, including some people who are going to be listening to me say this, who have given up on the local church. They've had repeatedly bad experiences. They haven't seen the depth. They haven't seen the biblical teaching. They've seen a lot of division. They've seen gossip, backbiting, slander. They've seen maybe leaders in immorality, authoritarian, being harsh with the church. We all have our stories. I have my stories. Church is not always easy for me. My church, which I love with all my heart, has gone through some rough times in the last year or so. And there are times where I just got fed up with certain things that were happening. I was fed up with people who were always critical of the leaders no matter what. And then some of the leaders who really weren't hearing the criticisms which were valid. And it's like, wow, it just would be a lot easier to stay home. But here's the problem. If I stay home with myself, then whose authority am I submitting myself to? At whose feet am I placing myself to learn? My own. And so when people say, well, we just have church in our families now. Right. So you're the pastor of your church. And fine, except if that's your only church and you call it a church, well, do you have church discipline? And how is it any different than the family? Are you morally accountable to anyone? Who do you do your giving to? Oh, well, since our family's a church, I guess we do our giving to ourselves. Great, let's go spend the money we otherwise would have given to the church, to God's people, to God himself, and let's go out and spend it on whatever we want to. Well, I hear people talk about, I read George Barna's book, A Revolution, a book that I really do not appreciate, to be honest, because I think it talks about going out on a golf course and guys are hanging out together and one's sharing the Bible with the other guy. And, you know, isn't that really church? I mean, isn't that just the best of church? And it's without all the organized religion, dogma, and expectations and that end of things and all of the church fights. And you think, well, right, but how accountable is this relationship, these two guys that are golfing together? By the way, people who go to church can also go out and golf together. It's not this revolutionary idea to spend time with each other as Christians outside of the gathered church. Of course we should do that. I think everybody is doing that in the first place, so this is nothing new. And then there's some people who are getting together and they think that small church, house church, the smaller the better, the more spiritual it is. And then you ask yourself, okay, if you're being missional, which is sometimes stated, are you really out there reaching the world? And if you are reaching the world, wouldn't your group be getting a little bit bigger? Wouldn't more people be wanting to come? And if you got bigger and you were too big for your living room, would you just tell people, you know, don't come anymore? And people in house churches can be extremely critical of people in churches with buildings, like building is a bad thing. A building is not a bad thing. It's just a tool. It can be well used. It can be poorly used. Whenever a building is opulent, I don't think it's appropriate. But certainly a church can use a building and can use it faithfully and use it for God's purposes. But I think about what it says in Ephesians 5, where it's talking about the marriage relationship, and it says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. And this becomes the model for how the husband is to treat his wife. But scripture tells us we can't become those things as a church by ourselves. We got to raise the bar for each other. That's why Hebrews tells us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the habit of some. And he's talking in a church context. Come together as a church. Have appointed leaders. Be under people in authority. See, I can say to myself, well, I think I know the Bible reasonably well. Maybe I know it better than a few elders at my church. So I'll just, you know, call my own shots and not submit to their authority and to their leadership. How proud of us if we would think that. And I've known many, many people who have started their little house church and have become so proud of how they're not under the authority, and they're not traditional, and they're not into organized religion. But so often, they and their children are not experiencing the model of the local body of Christ, where there is recognized authority that's not me, that I need to submit myself to. So I would say to people who have lost their love for the church, one of the things that I would say is in Scripture, the great majority of the time God talks about the church, he's talking about local churches. Look up the Greek word ekklesia, which I did one time, the 100-plus times that it's mentioned. The great majority, 90% plus, maybe 95% of the time, it's not talking about the universal body of Christ. It's talking about local churches. And guess what? Local churches are very imperfect. They have problems. There are attitude issues. Leaders make mistakes. Yes, there can be gossip and all of that. But God is doing a work. And instead of withdrawing from the church because you're critical of the church, why not invest yourself in a church and commit yourself to humbly serving the body of Christ to help people who are weak and needy and need to grow? If all these people in the church need to grow as much as you think they do, maybe that's where you should be. And guess what? You need to grow too. And you can raise the bar for them, and they can raise the bar for you, and you can grow together. And by all means, be part of a small group Bible study within that church. But don't say to yourself, by staying away from the church on Sunday mornings or Saturday nights or whenever church may gather, I'm taking the high ground, I'm going out in nature, and I'm worshiping the Lord there. One of the things I would say is there's a lot of people today, and to be honest, I think Brian McLaren is one of them, who just, it's almost like they can't stand the church. And I get that sometimes when I've read Frank Viola's books and some of George Barna and some of the other people that, and some of the emergent church books are good, and others, it's like they're always mocking, they're always making fun of the church, this old-fashioned thing. Well, it's not an old-fashioned thing, but it is an old thing, and Jesus instituted it a couple of thousand years ago, and he died for it. And it seems to me that if he has made the church his bride, what would you think if I said to my friend, well, you know, I really like you, but I don't like your wife. I can't stand your wife, and I don't want to be around your wife. Well, my friend really loves his wife. If my friend is Jesus Christ, and he's my Lord, and he really loves his wife, the church, the body of Christ, and he gave his life for her, probably he doesn't appreciate it if I have disdain for his bride, the body of Christ. Somebody might say, well, I don't have disdain for the universal body of Christ. I'm all for that. I just have disdain for the local church. Well, guess what? That's where people are who are part of the body of Christ. They are in local churches. So let's learn to swallow our pride, to be humble, to give generously, to submit to leaders, to bring the Bible to bear, and to model for our children what it means to be part of the body of Christ in a very imperfect church environment, but to not give up on the church that Christ gave his life